often, just when I'm alone. I can't help the longing I'll feel when you moan. Terry Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we've got a, sort of a jam-packed show tonight with two guests. In the first half hour, we're going to be talking to Ross Perviance, and he'll be with us just shortly. And then after that, we'll be talking to A. Edward Mock, also known as Edward Coda, and he's a remote viewer. So just sort of stay tuned for all of that. It should be a very, very interesting show. I do want to say that I just got back from Pennsylvania. We had a very interesting time there, this very strange sort of meeting. And many very, very fascinating people were invited. A lot of dynamics going on there. I'm not sure if anything's going to come of it or not. But at any rate, and I also just spoke via Skype with Anthony Sanchez at the Alchemy conference, actually live when I was in Pennsylvania. So all of that has happened. We leave for Egypt, in case anyone's still interested in going. We are taking some last-minute reservations if people are excited to want to come. That is all on the Camelot website, as well as our pilot that we did for Truth that is now available and gone viral on YouTube. So just wanted to give people a heads up about that. All right, so Ross Perviance, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi there.
Hi. You
know, would you like to kind of talk about yourself to begin with, Ross? I can say that you've given me sort of a background here, and you're kind of an inventor and researcher. What you do is create pyramids, and then you're also working on using them to get rid of the chemtrails, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I found that it does quite a bit for that. You can see it actually right now at perviancepyramid.net. That's P-U-R-V like Victor, I-A-N-C-E, pyramid.net.
Perviance Pyramid. There's a lot of background noise there where you're at. Is that a public place or?
Actually I'm at a coffee shop. Is that?
Oh, I see. Okay, well, I guess we'll have to endure it. Anyway, just wanted to check with that. Okay. So can you explain how you think your pyramid is working and what sort of prompts you to build one and try to get rid of chemtrails?
Okay. Basically, the Perviance Pyramid, I did some research on the internet, and I urge everybody to do it, a search, how to stop weather control. Or actually, you don't need to search anymore because you found it right here. This pyramid does it all. It stops man-made earthquakes. It stops weather control. It might even stop natural earthquakes. It brings balance to the environment. It gets rid of chemtrails. How I came about it, I was doing research and I came across orgone cloud busters and chemtrail cloud busters. And it just came from there. I knew the pyramids. There's a lot of secrets that the ancients left. I guess you can call them ancients. But and they used the pyramid extensively throughout the whole world. And so let me see if I can move to another location. Maybe that'll be easier.
Maybe it would be better if we called you on your cell phone, though there might be a little less background noise. I'm not sure.
Is that better?
I didn't realize you were at a public place. We would have made tried to make some other arrangements had I known.
Okay. It was due to research into trying to get rid of chemtrails, basically. And it developed through meditation, and this is it. It turned out very well, very, very well, and it does a superb job. It really gets rid of chemtrails. And I'd like to also mention why they're doing the chemtrails, which is a worldwide phenomenon. And that is,
you know, you're welcome to talk about why they're doing it as well.
Okay. Well, it is everywhere. It's circling the globe. It's a plasma field for an electric current. And in a PSYOPS terminology, it's to protect us from the positive energy that's coming from the center of the galaxy. So they're protecting us from evolving. You know, so, I mean, that would be a PSYOPS way of saying it, if you get my drift.
I see. Well, what is your background, Ross?
Extensive meditator. I haven't got a degree. Well, actually, I probably do have a degree in vocal performance and music. But other than that, I pretty much consider that the academia is more like quackademia, and you're better off just learning on your own.
Uh-huh. Okay. As far as using your pyramid to get rid of chemtrails, are you just using visual evidence? In other words, what do? You set it up and then you feel that it gets rid of chemtrails straight right above your head, or how does that work?
Well, actually what happened first when I made the blue pyramid, it turned out so well and I was so proud of it. I put it on the back of my bicycle, since I was riding my bike everywhere I went. And I just put it on the back of the bike and just rode it around, and found out actually later, within the last since May actually, that actually what you need to do is move it around, particularly early in the morning. So you can put it on the back of a bike or on top of a car, and try it yourself. You'll be pleasantly surprised once you make a fermions pyramid, put it on your car, and drive it around. But it has to be, you have to drive, ride it around early in the morning about sunrise. Like this morning, I went at 5:45 in the morning. And then it will clear chemtrails. But yesterday, here in Los Angeles, we had as many as 40 chemtrail jets per hour. It was ridiculous. And yet, the small pyramid was doing quite well. And it was quite a blast we had yesterday. They were bombing us. So.
Okay. And you have a, what is this handbook that you have on your website?
Well, I have reference to some other handbooks that I recommend. I did write a couple of books, Volume 1 and Volume 2, thing called Critical Point Handbook, that we're still taking orders on that, but mostly I recommend that. The gentleman you have interviewed in the past is George Green. He's recommended the book, and it's called Handbook for the New Paradigm. That one is amazing. It's like I've read that. Literally, I've read the first Handbook for the New Paradigm 200 times.
That is George Green's book. He gives those away, I believe, for free on his website. So that's what you're talking about is what you're referencing on your site. Is that right?
Yeah, for the most part. I actually wrote a couple of books, Volume 1 and Volume 2, and they make a lot of reference to the three handbooks, Volumes 1, 2, and 3, I guess you could call them, the Handbook for the New Paradigm series. But Anyway, so basically they're trying to block the positivity coming in from the center of the galaxy. So if we can put holes in that everywhere we can, just imagine being free of chemtrails. This is it. This does it. It's amazing. And try it for yourself to see, and you will be really surprised and pleasantly surprised about it. It's amazing. It's amazing how well it works. So that, plus it's also, you know, 1 week after the Fukushima attack and the man-made earthquake accompanying that in Fukushima, 1 week after that, we had northern lights here in Los Angeles. I saw them myself. I actually saw those. But the pyramids on top of my RV, my RV, I have two big pyramids. Well, one's big and one's the blue one that you see on the website there. And because of those, they could only muster a 4.5 earthquake. And I'm positive because of the Proviance pyramids. I've had experience where I park under a tree. I park under a very shady tree, and the chemtrails come in. So park your Proviance pyramid in the open and ride it around early in the morning as well, and you'll have some success. You'll enjoy it. And
okay, let me ask you, what did you use? Are you trained to, I don't know, figure out whether the actual angles are correct and all this sort of thing?
Oh, well, actually, I did have, I had carpentry experience when I was back in the 80s and 90s, and I actually got a contractor's license, so, and I'm pretty good with designing. Now, the meditations I had were ongoing. It was like a, you know, ongoing meditations, and I would get my design through that. I would go into meditative state, and it came up with this particular design, and it's just amazing. It works really well, very well.
Okay.
It's got orgone corners, and orgone is very healing for the planet and her inhabitants. What orgone is, you can look up Wilhelm Reich.
Right.
And then later it developed into orgonite, which is metal and resin. Now, you can see, actually, orgone was one of the secrets nature actually shares from the giant sequoias, for example, dropping their sap onto the minerals below, and you have that layering of resin and metal, and that's orgone. That's what it is. So it's, you know, nature has a lot of gifts she wants to share, and it's a lot of secrets there. So.
Okay. As far as this particular pyramid, am I right that I'm looking at your website, and your website for people is perviancepyramid.net. You want to spell that for people?
Yeah, it's P like Paul, U R, V like Victor, I A N C E, pyramid.net. That's PYRAMID.net. Perviancepyramid.net. It's a French name. Actually, the listeners, they may recognize my other name if they're from Oregon. My original name is Pervine, and they changed it. Originally, it was French Tudor, but when I was born, it was Pervine. So, Portland,
okay.
Oregon.
Are you saying that this costs $900?
Well, actually, I have some for sale that are already made. Yeah. And they're complete. They have the full orgone and orgone corners. But if you make your own, you don't have to make it as elaborate as the ones you see for sale there. And I do recommend get hands-on. It's very empowering to make your own. And you can enjoy your own artwork, you know. But I have instructions how to make your own. When you get to the website, you can click Downloads. And it's called Make a Perviance Pyramid, and just get the download and make your own. It's got a lot of shortcuts. I didn't apply the shortcuts when I first made this blue one, but it'll save you. It'll only be about a quarter amount of time to make it if you get the download. It's really simple once you see from the download how easy it is.
Okay. Now, have you had any scientists or anybody, you know, mechanical engineers or anyone take a look at your pyramid and verify your results?
Well, actually, Patrick Flanagan had in an interview with Sterling Allen. Sterling Allen interviewed Patrick Flanagan, who many believe is the reincarnation of Nikola Tesla. Sterling asked, "What do you think about this guy's pyramid?" And Patrick said, I'm sure it does everything that he says it does. So I got the endorsement from him. And actually, if you've been in Los Angeles, you can see for yourself how clear it is here. And you don't see any dying bees. There are no dying bees on the sidewalks since May in Los Angeles for 50-mile radius at least. Perhaps even more, like 70 miles. But it's just a very, very healing device for the whole planet, and it helps all the inhabitants in the local area. And, you know, these storms, these superstorms, I believe a lot of them use our technology in conjunction with the chemtrails. So if you get rid of the chemtrails, that might just foil their...
Are you there? Okay, well, thank you very much, Ross. I appreciate it. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Alfred Mock. Be sure to tune back in. We'll be right back. And thank you again, Ross.
Do you experience anxiety on a daily basis? Do you struggle to complete tasks, feel nervous in social settings, or are you losing sleep because of anxiety, worry, or health concerns? Let me tell you about a breakthrough discovery that changed my life. My name is Kirsten, and anxiety plagued me daily. I listened to the wonderful testimonials about RNA drops and decided to use them myself, beginning gradually from just a few drops to the recommended dosage. I'm happy to report that I experienced a significant decrease of anxiety, and that was just the beginning. After you hear the incredible stories at GetMyRNA.com, you can get a free trial-sized bottle valued at $50. Just pay shipping and handling. Again, that's GetMyRNA.com for your free trial-sized bottle today. Nothing is as important as feeling good again. Supplies are limited, so visit GetMyRNA.com right now.
Or see our ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. RNA drops.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Bushu comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they used to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich they don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Man, you know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream. Because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly. Within days, the episodes became less frequent, and by a month, they completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy is the Vinny Eastwood Show. In a world so full of madness and chaos, don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go friggin' nuts. Weekdays 5 to 7 Central on American Freedom Radio.
Been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one.
Hi there. This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we now have our next guest, which is Alfred Edward Mock. And his last name is also Coda, and he can kind of explain that to you, the distinction, and so on. And he is a remote viewer. I'm going to read a brief bio, but you can also go to the front page of Project Camelot and click on the bios so that you can see some other bio information there. He calls himself one of the youngest pioneer remote viewers. He was tested by Dr. Carlos Osis of the ASPR. Under what became known as Project Stargate. He was used, from what I understand, in R&D for present-day remote viewing. Originally, his name was Alfred Coda, and then he, I guess, was adopted by a family with the last name of Mock, who were personal friends of the Coda family. He can explain all that. After having a near-death experience during a medical operation at the age of 6, he began to show significant spiritual psychic abilities. At the age of 17 to 18, he was tested for his psychic abilities in 1972 at the American Society for Psychical Research in New York. Some of his data was applied to the scanning period of Project Stargate, which then was sponsored by the CIA. But most of his involvement in that project was considered to be classified. And I guess his family also has a background involved with military and intelligence that dates back to World War II and the Cold War. His abilities of a psychical analyst consultant have been used, I believe, also to help police departments find find people and so on. So without continuing on with that, let's talk to Al Mock and find out what he has to say. Al, are you there?
Yes. Hello, Carrie. How are you today? And happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, Al. Thank you so much for coming on the show. You know, I'm very excited to have you here. I think we're going to have a very interesting discussion. Can you augment what I just said about your background and kind of maybe go back and talk a little bit about it in a bit more detail as to kind of your family links to this whole, I guess, military-industrial complex, and then how you got involved in Project Stargate to begin with, and anything else you can talk about in that regard?
Okay, I will. It's kind of difficult to say where the whole thing began because there are different facets that come and go during many decades of research and development to psychological, and other related fields that have been ebbing in and out of the military for particular applications. And, of course, each war having its own particular theme and direction. It's why a lot of people think that, or have been given the impression that remote viewing just popped out of nowhere in the 1970s, when in fact certain aspects of remote viewing was being utilized many decades prior.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I think most of our listeners, anyway, are familiar to some degree with the history of remote viewing, and they know that the Russians were very involved in some of the early work in that regard. And I think that goes back to the 1950s, possibly the 40s, and I know the Nazis were very involved in all kinds of things. It wouldn't necessarily be called remote viewing back then, but certainly psychic research.
Well, the term remote viewing actually is a much older term that sort of fell out of use. That was lightly used around the turn of the century, around the beginning of the 1900s. But for whatever reason, it kind of fell out of use, and then later was introduced back in the 1970s and coined for the present day. Protocols and techniques that have developed out of it.
Okay, so do you want to talk about, first of all, your family background so that people understand something of your lineage before we get into the specifics of the remote viewing?
Okay. One of the things is that I was adopted pretty much days after I was born in 1954 into the Mock family. And a very, you know, typical American family living in the New York area, and growing up in a upper, you know, urban area, growing up in an unusual way, like any other kid, you know, and through this, having as much of a normal childhood as possible, and it would happen that when I was 6 years old. I went in for a tonsillectomy operation, and that's when they lost me on the operating table. And that's when I had my near-death experience, in which opened me up to other things that I was and was not aware of until some of it years later. Part of it was the acknowledgement later of my being adopted and being related to the Kota family, in which the Kotas were very much involved in the military historically as well, and also part of the part of the Mason family, which was into the Kota family, that was involved in the early development of what would be known as psychical research.
Okay, well, specifically though, there were certain individuals in your family, weren't there, that were already involved in psychic research?
Yes, that's correct. To my acknowledgement later, I found that there was a connection between me and an early pioneer, psychical research pioneer by the name of Dr. Rufus Osgood Mason, who submitted research and material originally, which was back then known as the Society for Psychical Research, and then later, when the American sister organization was founded, he would help to be very much involved in that also. And in his research, he did clinical studies. He was a medical surgeon, as well as having previous studies in religion, theology, etc. but chose to eventually become a physician, and also having his fascination with the early foundations of what would be parapsychology and psychical research, and also what would be the techniques known as hypnotherapy.
Okay. What is the significance of the Cota last name, and why do you know why you were adopted?
For reasons personally, I really don't really know. It was more in that I was told that I came from a second marriage, and my father was extremely busy doing other things, and that there was other relational or interact family dynamics that resulted in my being adopted.
Okay, and then the significance of the Cota last name?
Well, in that my grandfather was in the military and reached the rank of Major General during World War II and was associated with Commanding General Dwight D. Eisenhower in a number of World War II operations. And my biological father as well was also involved in World War II. And was a fighter pilot during the time of the European theater as well.
Okay, and didn't you meet Laura Eisenhower recently?
Yes, we did. Matter of fact, it was what, just two Sundays ago, if I'm correct. And I had met her a few months ago, only briefly, because she was busy with a show and a program. And we didn't have much time to really talk, but we were able to exchange information, she was very happy that we did, as well as myself, because the relationship between her great-grandfather and my grandfather went way back to West Point days, and and the friendship, again, was reignited when they worked together in World War II, and they remained good friends right up until their death. Of Eisenhower in 69 and then my grandfather around 1973.
Okay, and did your grandfather, just out of curiosity, happen to know about Eisenhower's meetings at, was it called Muroc Edwards Air Force Base with the ETs?
This I do not know. I do know that both of them were very close. And whatever they confide to each other was between the both of them. And it was never disclosed to me nor any of my immediate family, to my knowledge.
Okay. And this was your original father, not your adopted father, correct?
Okay. The Dakotas are my biological original family.
Yes. And so this general we're speaking of, who was friends with Eisenhower, was the was a member of the Dakotas, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, did you have contact with original father, who, I guess, after you left that family, you said you lived next door, but did you have contact with this person?
Well, even though I did not have any contact with my biological grandfather, I did have contact with a gentleman who was referred to as a friend of the family, who would fit the profile of what would be my biological father.
Okay, but these people did not necessarily talk to you about their interactions with Eisenhower or anything of that nature, right?
No, they did not. This I found out later when I started doing internal research on myself, because there were so many unanswered questions in the growing up of my life that seemed like unanswered questions that you would normally get in growing up. And especially when I found out that I was adopted. You know, sometimes when you find out when you're adopted, you want to find out more about your origins. And that's basically what I did. And I started to recollect some of the places that my adopted family took me on vacations, meeting of various people, places, and locations, and recollecting many of these areas. I then was able to slowly piece together a timeline of known and unknown people that apparently that both my adopted and my biological family knew and interacted with.
Okay, I assume you were born with your psychic ability, but then your sort of life-death experience augmented that. How would you relate to that?
I would say both. I think one of my first psychical experiences, believe it or not, actually happened when I was about 6 months old. There was an accident that occurred, and it was a medical accident where I was given some medication, and I overdosed on it. And I remember the experience where I remember having this like strange bitter taste in my mouth, and then passing out. Then years later, I was told about the incident.
Okay, but why was that a psychic incident?
Because I had full awareness of the event, you know, at age 6 months, and I still remember it to this day, as if I was an adult.
I see. Okay. Well, that's interesting. What is your sort of, you know, because you approached me in sort of unusual circumstances, and you had done some research into the Aurora shootings, and I guess, you know, I'm wondering what the background, what your real background is, because you also talked about having been involved in Project Stargate as what a lot of people didn't realize, that they had backup viewers that weren't known to the original viewers who were part of the program. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. A lot of people think that Project Stargate was just one straight series of remote viewing programs, when in reality it was a compilation of various projects and sub-projects that existed under the umbrella banner of Stargate. The time frame that I entered was about the time of the early the early SCANET period of the Stargate program, and that's when a lot of the protocols were being developed and separated to whatever efficiency and use, be it for military applications or domestic enforcement applications, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Did you go to SRI?
No.
Okay. Where were you? Were you located in New York at the time?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And did you ever meet Ingo Swann?
There was arrangements for me to meet with Ingo that were made by Dr. Osis. And I was supposed to meet Ingo at the Brookings Institute out in Long Island. And I did attend the meeting, and unfortunately...
We're going to have to continue your answer on the other side of this commercial. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, a way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION, and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcendence process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Must be some kind of way out of here. Say that joker to the thief. There's too much confusion.
Terry Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Alfred Edward Mock, also known as Alfred Coda. He is a remote viewer who, well, we're going to find out more about his remote viewing, but I can say that he, I believe, was backing Ingo up behind the scenes and as sort of a second test group in regard to what was going on in Project Stargate. So, Alfred, right before the break, we were talking about your meeting with Ingo. When did that happen?
Okay, the meeting was set up by Dr. Osis for me to meet him in the Brookings Institute out in Long Island. And I attended was a parapsychological meeting of other various people. I arrived, and unfortunately, Ingo was extremely busy with his lectures and such, and the meeting was postponed. And to this day, Ingo and I have not met.
Okay. I don't know. Would you consider yourself, was I correct in saying that you sort of backed him up on various experiments?
That's correct, because there were quite a few experiments that were done as a secondary, because there were some unanswered data that needed to be verified. One of the key factors was to bring remote viewing into scientific acceptance. And under the guidelines of science, one of the key factors was repeatability. So when the first experiments were done, that was with INGO, it was done, it was known as the ASPR beacon experiments. It was an inbound experiment where you had to go from one location to the target site and describe whatever it was that was there. And the problem is that INGO was the only lone participant. So there was no additional backup or no additional participants. So the second revisements, they then called in for a second team to help verify not only what INGO and the early research of the beacon experiment was done, but also to verify any additional factors that might have came across that could verify scientific repeatability, making remote viewing scientifically acceptable.
Okay, and so you participated in some of these experiments, obviously, right?
Yes.
And can you describe, first of all, I guess, could you, like, generally state your, hit rate or however you want to sort of relate to that? How can you, in other words, how good were you?
Well, it's hard to say because every remote viewer had their particular unique quality. And as far as the results of what I contributed, Dr. Otsis was very impressed by what I was able to give in data and into the project itself, which is one of the reasons why he wanted me to meet with Mr. Swan.
Okay. Now, have you met with other members of the Project Stargate?
Yes, pretty much after the fact around 1995 with the military side. But prior to that, I did meet other people that were involved in the domestic end.
All right. So can you name some of the usual suspects? In other words, did you meet Joe McMonagle, Paul Smith, any of these people, Lynn Buchanan?
Okay, most of these people you're mentioning I met after 1995, and they were primarily in the military side of the remote viewing program. What I would meet later, or I would meet before them, were individuals like a man named Fred Hansen, who was part of a domestic group using certain psychical and remote viewing techniques for domestic security.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was asking, was there anyone else that you met prior to meeting the military side?
Prior to that, nothing from the military, until after 1995.
Right, but you said you met people who were on the domestic side, so I was just wondering, you just mentioned Fred.
Yes. Yeah, I met Fred Hansen, of course, Dr. Otsis, for the time frame that I was with him. Also, met Jack Hulk.
Did you ever meet Pat Price?
I never met the man.
Did you hear about him?
Yes, I have. And I've heard mixed stories about him, how he was a brilliant remote viewer. But there was also some controversy whether or not his data was truly authentic or been manipulated.
That's interesting. What have you heard about the idea that it's been manipulated? Where did you get that?
Okay, there's been stories running around that in 1975, Pat Price was in Las Vegas and he had suffered a coronary and later died. The story has it that there may have been a little more to the story that Mr. Price might have been a double agent.
Okay. Well, actually, I have a theory, personal theory, on Pat Price, that he didn't die when they said he did. But that he went either underground or to Mars. Have you ever tried to remote view what happened to Pat Price?
No. No, my direction was not so much into, remote viewing remote viewers. It was primarily, to remote view primarily missing people, kidnapped, according to the case that was primarily domestic. And I was never really put into a military focus.
Okay, but in terms of the cases you did look into, can you characterize those cases at all?
I'm sorry, again?
I'm sorry, can you characterize the cases that you worked on? Can you hear me okay? Am I loud enough?
Yeah, I guess so.
I was wondering, what kind of cases did you work on?
Okay, on a domestic point, there was a case that occurred in the New York City area, which was a serial killing case. And at the time, we were field testing many of the remote viewing techniques at the time, in which most of the selected people went to SRI, and I was left in the New York City area. During serial killing case, they were trying to find people that were legitimate and clean, and they had, they had no questionable background. And I was approached by a representative go-between that was connected with Group Elements Team Omega and with the New York City Police Department. And the assignment for me was to go to one of the crime scenes and to discern through my psychical remote viewing abilities what things did I pick up, in that location. And surprisingly, a lot of the information that I discovered was utilized and then later helped to apprehend the suspect in question.
Okay. But you worked, you said, in Project Stargate originally, and that was a military program. Are you saying that it had two sides?
Yes, it did.
And one side was domestic?
Yes.
Okay, and what did domestic mean? Did it mean, in terms of security, internal security, what does that mean to you? What did it mean?
Well, in the way I was being utilized, I looked at it toward the aspect of domestic law enforcement, not realizing until when I met Mr. Hansen that there were much more deeper security concerns, basically dealing with what we call now Homeland Security.
Okay, so were your targets, what kind of protocols did you use, first of all? And do you know the sort of lingo that they use for various types of protocols? What do you have, a certain protocol that you use?
Well, I used a modified remote viewing program or protocol that pre-existed even before the CRV protocol was designed, and much of that pre-existed, but some of this going way back to World War II.
All right. Does it have a name?
Not particularly. Just basically, it's called astral viewing, vision viewing, and other similar coined names. And it was used in a limited degree during World War II by the Allied forces, and then later used in early dowsing experiments during the 1950s.
Okay, again, we have another break here, but this is the top of the hour. It's a little bit longer, Alfred, and we'll be right back with you. We'll be back with Alfred Monk, and then we'll pick this up where we left off. Thank you.
Just give me some truth now. All I want is the truth now. I like very much
radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
On election day, I stay home. I don't vote. I don't vote. Two reasons I don't vote. First of all, it's meaningless. This country was bought and sold and paid for a long time ago. They shuffle around every 4 years. Doesn't mean anything. And secondly, I don't vote because I believe if you vote, you have no right to complain. People like to twist that around. I know. They say, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But where's the logic in that? If you vote and you elect dishonest, incompetent people, and they get into office and screw everything up, well, you are responsible for what they have done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. You have no right to complain. I, on the other hand, who did not vote, who, in fact, did not even leave the House on election day, am in no way responsible for what these people have done and have every right to complain as loud as I want about the mess you created that I had nothing to do with.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly. Within days, the episodes became less frequent, and by a month, I completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
No rules.
No rules.
No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.
Our hero claims a warrior's heart.
Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Alfred Edward Mock, and also known as Alfred Coda. Al, right before the break, we were talking about Project Stargate and the protocols, differentiating between your particular protocols that you use and the ones that were sort of came into being, I guess, in that program. So I was just trying to find out. Are you basically saying that the kind of protocols you used were ones that you were taught by Otis? Is that his name?
You're saying Dr. Otis?
Otis, yeah. I mean, in other words, who taught you the protocols that you use?
Basically, when we were doing the beacon experiments at the ESTR, it was developed where... from original out-of-body research that was done that went back into the files of the American Society for Psychical Research and modified to the as-needed situation. Modifications that were put in were also put in by Ingo, as well as other modifications by Dr. Otis and other of his colleagues.
Okay. As a psychic, though... Were you to some degree also just relying on your natural abilities?
That too, yes.
Okay. Do you actually, you know, I took a remote viewing class. Do you draw pictures?
Actually, I could do picture drawing, but I find it's a distraction for me, and that's why it's been set up where I usually try to have three people, myself, I'd be the reader, one be the monitor, and the other person be the additional backup, just in case information is overlooked or needs to be re-familiarized in during the sessions, and it's done that way so that nothing would be missed.
Okay, do you know who Robert Monroe is, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, did you ever go to his place? I think it was in Virginia.
No, unfortunately, I did not. I would have loved to have met the man, but I was friends with a man who was personal friends with Dr. Monroe, and that was Donald Stewart, who was involved with media relations with the U.S. government.
Uh-huh. All right. So in terms of your interaction with the Stargate, is there anything specific that went on? Did you ever help the military remote movers, viewers on the side of the military?
Again, I mentioned to you, I had no direct association with anybody in the military. Primarily, I was utilized for domestic purposes.
Okay. But when you were backing Ingo up, was that was because of the development of the protocols?
Yes. Because there were still unanswered questions regarding the original protocol development that Ingo was coming up with. Part of it was that some of this could be traced to the research that was done by Dr. Rufus Osgood Mason almost a century earlier. And a lot of it mimicked what would become the CRV protocol that Ingo would prize. And for that reason... there were members of the American Society for Psychical Research that questioned Ingo's protocol as being a possible ripoff or a fluke of, you know, that it derived from Dr. Mason's research work, and which was another reason why the second phase was brought in, so to eliminate any shadow of doubt.
Okay, and... What, didn't you say Dr. Mason was a relative?
Yes. Yes, I'm like second cousin, a couple of generations removed by way of my great-grandmother's side, Jesse Harriet Mason, who married George William Coda.
Okay, and so, in other words, I don't know, if you are the psychical research organization that you're talking about, which I know, or at least I recall, that Ingo didn't have a great fondness for after a while, you're saying that they may have found that some of the original protocols came from this individual Mason. Is that correct?
Yes. This is a fact that a published work that was done by Dr. Mason was published around 1896, 1897. And it does go into his research, his clinical research, into what would be psychical and parapsychology. And there's a chapter in which it's almost exactly to the CRV method that would be developed or be utilized at SRI.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. Okay, can you tell me, have you ever read the book Psychic Warrior?
Yes.
And what did you think about the author?
I thought Dr. Morehouse's interpretation was quite interesting. Since, you know, I tried to have an email conversation with Dr. Morehouse, and he would never answer me. So I could not really get a direct, you know, communication from him as far as what his personal views were outside of the book.
Okay. You know, you seem to have a sort of a background that you can't really figure out completely, and I know you've done a fair amount of investigation in that regard. May I ask you why you haven't used your own remote viewing skills on looking at your own background? Have you found blocks in that area or what?
No, it's because of what I discovered that I want to keep personal. I mean, there's some things we have in our personal lives we don't want to disclose publicly, not because it's anything, you know, outrageous or anything embarrassing. It's just a certain aspect of privacy because of my family's background in the military and in the intelligence fields. I don't want to give the wrong impression or say something that could be a problem.
No, I think you misunderstood my question. What I was asking is that for your own purposes, have you remote viewed your, not that you would put it public anywhere, but have you, for your own purposes of investigation, investigated using your psychic and remote viewing abilities, your own past?
Yes, I have.
And was that helpful?
Oh, very much so. A lot of the... It's interesting how many of us got into remote viewing. We're almost kind of like discouraged to really go inwardly into our consciousness and into our probing of our own remote viewing self, you know, but to be utilized more on the outside aspects. It's almost like the certain members or certain people within the intelligence community already knew who you were before they selected you, and according to the research, they did not want to divulge full information to us, either internally or externally, that could influence us and diminish our abilities as remote viewers, because they felt that the more impartial and less information we were given, you know, it would not pollute our abilities to to remote view.
Okay. Have you ever gone to Ingo Swann's website, which is called biomindsuperpowers.com?
Yes, I have been there.
Okay. Because he has a history there of remote viewing. I don't know if you've read it.
Yes, I have.
Okay. And does it seem fairly accurate to you?
Pretty much from what I can discern from Ingo's side of it, it seems quite accurate, but there are some additional information that I don't think Ingo was fully disclosed. It was done that way deliberately, so that way not everybody had the full skinny on it.
Right. Are you familiar with remote influencing?
I've heard the term used before, and unfortunately, I like to use a term called remote voodoo. I think it's a little bit overrated, and I think it's more of a distraction of what remote viewing is. You know, getting into the idea of remote influencing seems a little bit more far-fetched than what's cracked up to be.
Okay. What about special powers? Do you consider yourself having any exceptional or unique sort of psychic ability or sort of proclivity? You know, in other words, have you found that your gift is a specific kind of a gift?
Again, it's kind of hard to really pinpoint it because every remote viewer has their own unique skill and ability, you know. And it just can't put it really in a full, nutshell as far as, you know, what, you know, point A or point B. But in certain skills, yes, we might have our own particular area that we focus on.
Well, I mean, what I'm asking you is whether you yourself, I'm not asking you necessarily about others, but I was asking whether you yourself have discovered that you have any particular sort of unique cast to the way that you do either remote viewing and or use your psychic abilities. For example...
Yes. Okay, yeah, I understand what you mean.
Okay.
I tend to focus, I believe, in the area of what I call a quantum remote viewing, where I have demonstrated where I could basically... time travel by way of remote viewing to different time periods and locations.
Okay, so you're able to, can you repeat that? You're able to time travel?
Yeah, by way of remote viewing.
All right, and when you say time travel, are you talking about going sort of into the future, into the past, or both?
A combination of all three.
Okay, meaning all three. When I said two things, and what's the third one?
Yeah, either remote viewing the future, which is precognitive, remote viewing the past, which is called retro, and then, of course, remote viewing the here and now.
Oh, okay, I see. And so is that would be like a sort of maybe you might say a special talent that you've got?
Most remote viewers have this talent, but some are more attuned to one aspect or one variation of another.
Uh-huh. And do you specialize in any particular aspect of that?
For myself, I like retro, but it doesn't necessarily mean that is my focus.
Okay. Are you familiar with Joe McMonagle?
Yes, we have discussed things on the email back and forth.
All right. Let me ask you this. We met and we talked about the Aurora shooting, and you had some theories about what was going on there that you've been following out. Have you made any progress since we last talked?
Well, I've noticed some interesting patterns that seem to have come out of the Aurora shootings. It's a sad event that seem to have had various copycat or alleged copycat overtones. One of the things I found interesting was that it was later discovered that there was a lot of what referred to as psychical markers that were found in the area of the Aurora shooting that connected to other events that either happened before, during, or later, in which, for example, one of the people that got shot at the theater was a sports writer caster lady.
Yes.
And a month prior to that, she was at a shopping center, and I believe it was in Toronto, okay. and there was a shooting there, and she narrowly escaped getting shot there. And then, ironically, she was in the theater when that happened at Aurora.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, that's a coincidence that can't be a coincidence. In other words, it has to have been a lot more than a coincidence.
Well,
go ahead.
Perhaps you could share this with me, that I might have something to share to add on to it.
Oh, well, no, I'm just simply saying that synchronicity is too close to be an accident.
Okay, yeah. I do feel that something, from what I was able to research, just didn't add up to just being, something out of the blue. It seemed to have been coordinated in some manner. To what level of application, I don't know, because I do not have access to that level of intelligence or disclosure ability. One of the things I did notice was in reference to the shooting at the Sikh temple, if you recall, in the, outside of Milwaukee.
Right.
That the person who originally came out of Fort Hood was an excellent shooter, was trained by the U.S. Army, and the street that he lived on was in a town called Cudahy, which was the next town up from where the Sikh temple shooting occurred.
We're going to come right back after the break.
Do you experience anxiety on a daily basis? Do you struggle to complete tasks, feel nervous in social settings, or are you losing sleep because of anxiety, worry, or health concerns? Let me tell you about a breakthrough discovery that changed my life. My name is Kirsten, and anxiety plagued me daily. I listened to the wonderful testimonials about RNA drops and decided to use them myself, beginning gradually from just a few drops to the recommended dosage. I'm happy to report that I experienced a significant decrease of anxiety, and that was just the beginning. After you hear the incredible stories at GetMyRNA.com, you can get a free trial-size bottle valued at $50. Just pay shipping and handling. Again, that's GetMyRNA.com for your free trial-size bottle today. Nothing is as important as feeling good again. Supplies are limited, so visit GetMyRNA.com right now.
Or see our ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. RNA drops.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION, and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the major media destroys information, and religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
What you hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy is the Vinny Eastwood Show. In a world so full of madness and chaos, don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go friggin' nuts. Weekdays 5 till 7 Central on American Freedom Radio.
Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Alfred Edward Mock. Al, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, very good. So right before the break, we were just getting into the Aurora shootings and some of the things that you noticed that might have sort of caught your eye. And in fact, my curiosity was about whether or not you had remote viewed that whole incident, and did you do so?
Minorly, I did, because I found things to be normal things were not just adding up in the situation. Going back to the incident of the shooting at the Sikh temple, when they located the shooter's location of where he lived in the next town over called Cudahy. And the street he lived on, believe it or not, was called Holmes Avenue. Now what does the name Holmes sounds to you?
Well, I mean, James Holmes was the supposed shooter at Aurora.
Right. So here we have a third coincidence, you know, of another shooting within a short time frame of the original Aurora shooting. So as I looked into the street name being Holmes Avenue, it then later turned out that the shooter at the Sikh temple originally came from Colorado and was living in Colorado for quite a few years.
Okay, that's very interesting.
Again, because I found that coincidence, I decided to say, okay, where did James Holmes live? And he lived in a street called Paris Avenue. Now, what did Paris have to do, or Paris, the name Paris have to do with this? This I would later discover through some communications to an individual from England in which they were getting ready for the Olympics. If you recall, the Olympic Games were only about a month or two from starting.
Yes.
And according to a contact that I had, they were doing a lot of extra security for the Olympics, and there was a lot of symbolism that was in the opening and the closing games. And in my research, I found that name Paris Avenue connected to James Holmes, I got the remote viewing of the singer Jim Morrison of the Doors, and his reference to referring to himself as the Lizard King. And it turned out that in one of the performances at the Olympic ceremony, which I think it was the closing period, there was a scene where there was a vehicle, and out of the vehicle pops out Batman and Robin. And all of a sudden, there's also another scene where there seems to be a guy dressed up like a lizard, you know, running around by the fire flame, along with a phoenix bird.
Yes.
And when all these patterns began to appear, then it all started to become apparent that somebody was copycatting in some kind of ritualistic psychological thing, of almost like repeating itself in a more black occult direction.
Yes, I actually had written an article about those kinds of things that seem to be going on and cropping up around that time. You also mentioned, if I recall, how neuroscience seemed to be a through line in the Aurora shooting. Both James Holmes was studying that, and then there was a connection to a doctor who went across the border and gave a presentation that was significant in this regard.
Yes, Dr. Morse was doing some lecturing on neuroscience and the breakthroughs of neuroscience techniques to do with mind enhancement or with mind dynamics. And it's strange that he, upon return, was arrested. Was in jail for 72-hour hold, supposedly for being mentally ill, released, and then not about a week or two later rearrested. And supposedly his daughter accusing him and her parent mother of waterboarding her.
Right. It was a completely bizarre story. There was also a colleague in, I believe it was Canada, where he gave his presentation saying that it was one of the most brilliant of his career, in her opinion.
Yes, that's what I was told. So whatever Dr. Morse was discussing, it must have ruffled the feathers of somebody, because it just seems that the timing of that in Montreal, the timing of him being a neuroscientist, and also with James Holmes being connected with developing himself into neuroscience, you know, is there a connection between James Holmes and Dr. Morse? That seems possible, suspect.
Right. But wasn't there a third piece that also had to do with the neuroscience angle? One thing that I noticed was that James Holmes was studying, strangely enough, time travel. Did you happen to trip on that?
I have heard about this, and this has to do, again, with what we were talking about, remote viewing and the abilities to time travel by way of remote viewing. But now looking into back engineering, trying to find where more denser time travel can be achieved. In other words, where the physical body could time travel. One of the key factors that was discovered in some of the remote viewing experiments was the ability that some remote viewers reported that they biolocated. Now, you know what biolocation is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, there have been reports that some remote viewers did biolocate in some of their sessions, where they appear to have been in two places at once, or multi locations.
Right. And have you ever done that?
Yes.
Okay. I myself believe I've done that. Can you talk about that? What that dynamic is like for you?
Well, it's just doing it like a normal remote viewing session, and as you are visualizing, you know, the event, you become more and more involved with the event as if the event brings you in, or that you find yourself being disintegrated into the other, into the other side of the target location. And this has been a discussion over the years, how some of the protocols knew of this, or the intelligence agencies knew of this, and tried to discourage this biolocation technique so that the enemy could not observe us, you know, in our remote viewing.
But at the same time, isn't it, doesn't it make it also more possible for you to affect, in other words, if you, the remote viewer was doing more than just view, it's possible for the remote viewer to actually affect the environment in which they are biolocating, or have the environment, for that matter, affect them, right?
I think maybe a little bit of both. And if you read in Ingo Swann's research, he mentioned about remote viewing to Jupiter. And in remote viewing to Jupiter, it had to do with pre-designations of what would be later, I think, some spacecraft that NASA was going to be sending via JPL to try to verify certain land sites or locations on the surface of Jupiter that might be useful in photographic photography of the later vehicles that would be sent up there.
Right. Have you ever done any remote viewing of other planets?
Not to my knowledge. I primarily just seemed, I seem to stay mostly within this time frame of this planet.
Okay. In regard to get back just so that we can sort of tie this up, the Aurora shooting, was there anything else that has sort of come up that you've noticed or that you're aware of in conjunction with what went on in Aurora, the Sikh shooting? And was there ever any third piece that sort of emerged?
Yes. If you remember, the theme seemed to have been focused on the movie Batman. If you look into the Batman movie, you will notice toward the end it focused. It was a terrorist event where they were trying to steal a nuclear, a new type of nuclear device.
Well, yeah, I thought it was sort of a free energy device, actually.
Right. And what is surprising is, if you see the theme of the ending of Batman, it is almost exactly the same theme that is used in Angels and Demons in the movie that starred Tom Hanks and was written by Dan Brown.
Yes.
And it had to do with the discovery of what is known as the God particle.
Okay.
Okay, if you look into it, the God particle or the research that would become the God particle was known as the CERN project that started around 1954. And this was a Cold War project that started under the administration of Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Oh, that's interesting.
And the CERN project was in dedication to Albert Einstein, which he unfortunately passed away in 1953, and also a statement to the then Soviet Union of going beyond just the concepts of nuclear of sources of finding other energies. And there were quite a number of people that were involved with the CERN project, in which when last year it was announced by one of the members of the CERN project that were coming close to discovering the God particle, the scientist that came out announcing this was Dr. Sven Olof Mach, a relative.
Right, and is this a relative of yours?
Yes.
Okay, so he's currently alive, in other words, right?
He was working associated with Peter Hicks, in his model of, that would become the successful model in capturing the bosun that was announced, believe it or not, on the 4th of July of last year.
Right.
You know, and if you recall, what's the 4th of July? 4th of July is the American Independence Day.
Yes.
And if you go into the mysteries of, the founding of the Americas, if you look at the original colonial eagle that was utilized back in the colonies, not the eagle that were, the ball-headed eagle that we're used to today, but the colonial eagle was more shaped like a phoenix.
That's right.
And the individual who came up with the model, Peter Hicks, was a Scotsman. And the symbolism of the phoenix was widely used at the Olympic Games last October.
True. That's true.
So there is some, and of course, there are people on this planet that feel that that many of the physicists are messing around with God in the discovery of, in the capture of the God particle, in which many scientists at first said, oh, it can't be done. And now that it's been done, it's now changing the whole outlook of physics, free energy, and the whole idea of how to run the planet on a energy source that we don't have to use fossil fuels anymore.
Okay, can you be a little more specific as to how discovering the God particle actually does lead in that direction? My understanding of it had to do with being able to actually create reality in the sense that we understand it, reality, that is. In other words, they could literally create whole worlds out of this.
Well, supposedly the God particle is supposed to be the start of how the universe began. It's supposed to be of what the Big Bang, so-called Big Bang theory, comes from. And that you can find through, as you look at some of the early writings, where they found that light is energy, energy is light, from a scientific point of view.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, a way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Now, there's one thing you might have noticed I don't complain about. politicians. Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck.
Yeah!
Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. And term limits ain't going to do you any good. You're just going to wind up with a brand new bunch of selfish, ignorant Americans. So maybe it's not the politicians who suck. Maybe something else sucks around here. Like the public.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
Practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
You raise up your head, and you ask, is this where it is? Then somebody points to you.
Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. We're talking to A. Edward Mock, Alfred Coda. Alfred, are you there?
Yeah, still here.
Okay, very good. So we were talking about the God particle. And I'm just curious, how does this link up with neuroscience, in your view?
With the capture of the God particle, basically we're hitting blue sky in aspects of consciousness. We'll be able to now take aspects of consciousness and bring it more into a physical reality.
Right. And so how do you think, in other words, do you have any thought, or have you remote viewed CERN, for example? Because I understand they're building an even bigger complex now that they've done that, right?
From what I hear, that either they're building it, or it's shortly should be online. But I have not really focused that much on the CERN project per se. But I have been interested in what's been going on with time travel because of my research into quantum applied remote viewing.
All right. Do you want to elaborate?
Well, one of the big topical subjects right now is the information that came out about the so-called secret NASA projects going to the planet Mars.
Right.
Okay. One of the key things in that, we could probably trace some of this that goes way back to the days of Project Rainbow. Prior to World War II, or our entry into World War II, and the cloaking of ships for invisibility. This was utilized by Tesla and theorized by Einstein in the unified field theory that he came up with. According to the public information, they said that Einstein never finished the theory. But the fact of the matter is, it may have been that Einstein did finish completion of the unified field theory, but it took a while for it to work the bugs out. And this may be one of the key factors of what you hear of the stories of the Philadelphia experiment, where how true or not it is, how in one of the experiments, a number of the crewmen found themselves fused into the into the ship's hull and such.
Well, I don't know if you know about Sean David Morton's book called Sands of Time.
No, I have not heard that.
Okay, but a person who supposedly was head of Area 51 throughout the 60s and into, I guess, the maybe up until the 80s or 90s, was passed away and left his diaries to Sean and asked him to write a nonfiction book. It's all centered around the way that he got the final part of the equation that Einstein was working on, and that they were very involved in time travel in these black projects.
Okay. Some of the information that I'm aware of is Einstein knew a lot of people, a lot of physicists, and one of the physicists that he was friends with was with the Mach family, Dr. Richard Mach, which was the son of French Minister Jules Mach, which also has ties to my family that also connect to the U.S. government during World War II.
Okay, how does that relate to time travel?
Okay, in the aspect of time travel, as you know, Project Rainbow was its major goal was to make ships and such invisible, planes, ships, whatever the, you know.
Okay, so
undetectable by the enemy. And through the fluke that was found by way of the unified field theory, that's how they began to find abnormalities that led to possible time travel being truly a reality.
Okay, so the idea being, and I was actually wondering, but now you've answered the question, is the link between invisibility and time travel is the idea that possibly, if I understand it, you can go into another dimension, and in doing that is how you become invisible, in essence, by traveling out of a certain time-space locale.
Yeah. Yes. More in the aspect of what we termed as time bending.
I'm sorry, what's the term?
Time bending.
Well, okay.
Where you're not really time traveling, you're still in the same place. You're right. you're just augmenting the same here and now time frame.
Okay, but time bending is in essence a definition for time travel, isn't it?
A form of it, yes.
Okay.
And according to some researchers, such an experiment happened where one of the ships, there was more than one experiment at Project Rainbow. One of the ships went from Norfolk to a port in Bermuda and followed followed the ship's logs and protocols. And when it arrived to the other point, it was 3 days late. But according to the logs and the time clocks on the ship, it was like 24 hours. So what happened to the other 48 hours?
Sure. Okay. So I mean, this has kind of been well documented. Have you had any direct exposure to any of this? In other words, were you... I don't know, did you remote view again the God particle discovery? Have you been looking into this specifically?
Not directly, because, you know, my focus has been more on remote viewing for domestic purposes. But there was an incident that happened to me back in the mid to late 1960s in which my adopted father and I went out to Long Island. And I had this obsession to go to Montauk Point and view the Montauk Point Lighthouse.
Right.
And which we did. And then on our way back, we got lost. We got on the wrong road. And we were on some other road of the Montauk Highway and came across what appeared to be a gated facility, government facility.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were trying to see if there was a, you know, a gatehouse or some kind of a building of information to to find out how to get back on the road to get back into New York City. And shortly after that, we were confronted by what looked like private security.
Right.
Yeah. That we were confronted by private security because we got lost on the road. Now,
I assume, and what? So the private security asked you to leave, I assume, right?
They asked us to leave the area. They basically asked us what we were doing there, and basically told them that we were lost on the road, and we're trying to get back on the freeway.
Uh-huh.
And it was very nice. You know, no complaints. Nothing more or less. And years later, I would find out that the facility that we were looking at was the facility that was described as being part of the Montauk Project.
Right.
Of time travel.
Okay. And how old were you back in those days?
I was a teenager. I must have been about maybe 12, 13 years old.
Really? Okay. Actually, that would have been before 1983, right?
Yeah. It was somewhere mid to late 1960s.
Okay, so, from what we know now, that base, I don't know, you said it looked like it was deserted, but I have to say
yes.
It was operational.
Mm-hmm.
It was still operational at that time.
If it was in operation, it probably was winding down at the time when my father and I accidentally, stumbled on it.
Uh-huh. Okay, did you happen to live on Long Island?
No, but I was born on Long Island, actually in Brooklyn.
Okay. I've got someone we've got a chat room that goes along with the program here, and someone is asking, I'm not sure how it relates to anything, but they're asking whether you remote viewed the Coral Castle.
Is that the one down in Florida?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't remote view it. I've been there. I've took a tour of the Coral Castles, visited, saw some of the stones, the way it was set up. Really amazing how this gentleman was able to find the balance points of all these rocks and stones and was able to degravitize these, to make these unusual and unique monuments.
Absolutely. Okay, speaking of time travel, well, we have gotten to the end of the show, believe it or not, and I kind of feel like we've only grazed the surface, that there's a lot more that we could be talking about. So I'd love to talk to you further, if not offline, then also on another show. And I'm sorry that we didn't get to some of the questions that were in the chat here. Do you want to give out a website or anything else that you'd like people to know before we go?
Well, I am on Facebook under Alfred Cota, C-O-T-A. I also have a section under A. Edward Mock of some of the experiences I've had.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Your life as it has been is over.
Don't miss the middle chamber of the Crater X on AMR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift, Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered Ion, and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
I'm down south recently. I'm playing a town. This is absolutely true. It was in all the papers. It was on CNN. Apparently, everyone in this town saw these UFOs. And I'm curious. I asked people what it was like. Oh, man, it was incredible. Incredible. People came from miles around to look at them. A lot of people came armed.
Excuse me?
People are bringing shotguns to UFO sightings. Don't you think there's a point where we're going to drop the weapons? I mean, the mothership comes. Maybe we don't know everything. Not like some intergalactic skeet shoot. Ah, there goes one out. Bringing shotguns to UFO sightings, man. It kind of brings whole new meaning to that phrase, you ain't from around here, are you, boy? So I said to the guy, I go, why do y'all bring shotguns to UFO sightings? He said, well, we don't want to be abducted. I'm thinking, yeah, and leave all this. He said, huh?
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.